This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Everyone, Dom Giordano show on a big news day Friday. And guess what? We're busting. Great producing, Dan Henry. Well, I've involved constantly. We have the Fishback guy coming on today at 1:15. The Fishback guy is this youngish guy who started a hedge fund company steering people toward corporate America businesses, big-time businesses, who did not engage in DEI policies. He's not on about that. We'll talk about it a little bit. He's a guy who had a dream. And when he woke up, he said, I want Doge dollars, 20% going to you, me, Dan Henry, everybody listening right now that is a taxpayer that didn't get benefits that were greater than the taxes they paid. And he says, the bill is on the way. In the next few days, it will be introduced into the House of Representatives. You know how much we've talked about this, right? He'll be with us at 1:15 today. Also on the show today, Linda Kearns at 2 o'clock, our election integrity defensive coordinator. Because as I told you, I had a source on the other side, pretty highly placed sources, saying that Democrats are ready to make a move on voter ID. Here's the issue, though. I understand you're saying, well, okay, they're going to give up finally and more restrictive voter ID. What do we have to give up? I know we were burned by Act 77, Doug Mastriano and all these other guys, remember? Tom Wolf said, all right, we'll take away. You walk in and you just pull the lever for one party. You have to vote individually. And they essentially gave up getting rid of absentee voting and giving us mail-in voting. That's how it worked. So I share your wariness. We'll see what Linda Kearns says at 2 o'clock would be needed to sign off. In other words, what do we have to get versus what they want? Is voter ID worth it? 855-839-1210. You know, this is like with the Eagles. People want Myles Garrett, but then Cleveland, at least on paper, is saying two first-round picks. And I hear these people, I think, idiotic, you know, with the first round pick, number one pick, that's golden. Get this guy. Yeah, stand a good chance to win again. But is voter ID like that? Do we have to give up too much for the shenanigans of Democrats that will go, whoops, we got voter ID, but look at what they did over here? Haven't had a chance to talk to Scott Presler about it. We'll do that on Monday. But Linda Kearns here to lay all that out. Now, a lot of action yesterday on the show, and the Bucks County Courier Times has a big piece today about Brian Fitzpatrick. Apparently, according to them, and they did some research, but it seems to be true, has not done an in-person town hall since 2017. I know, what about the Democrats? Well, look, the paper's liberal, I get it. The point is this, Republicans, it's very clear now, are being advised, do not do these town halls. They have a big picture of indivisible. People from hell who show up and go after you at town halls. I'm still in the camp, do the town halls, and here's the added factor. I've been telling you that Elon Musk met with President Trump, with the cabinet, who's going to be in charge. He met with the Republicans, heard their issues, and is addressing them. So I think there are more arms, say, over the next week or so, to do a town hall. And again, I think you have to drive out people that are supportive of what President Trump is doing. The other side's organizing all this. If I know of one, I'm going to go and ask people to go. Now, you do run the risk, and I think Dan differs with me, we'll get to that a little bit, of these people not shutting up. They can be removed. We've been through this before. But I don't think it can just do tele-town halls. You have to have security there. You have to tell them the rules in the beginning. You have to do all that. But I don't want the narrative to be Republicans are just running away from this. And again, I think you have to go in a full-court press, and we'll do our job here, of exposing who a lot of these people are. They're certainly not Trump voters. These are not Trump people. Oh, man, I never saw this coming. In no way, shape, or form am I going to be able to live with Donald Trump. Is that they're not there. They're not there showing a mask, screaming at these Republicans. And we had on people that indicate some of them might even be out-of-towner activists, not just the local activists. I get all that. But this idea we're going to run scared and not engage this, I'm not on board with that. You may be. You might be saying, we're just going to continue to do this, and we are not going to engage in this. I always am in the camp of engagement. Speaking of which, I am so happy about what I told you yesterday. I did get a few people pushing back on me, but a lot of people agreed that Charlie Kirk going on the Newsom podcast was a good thing to do. We have more sound of that, where Newsom talks about book bans. If you can imagine, he says, oh yeah, Charlie, would you ban the Bible, the Song of Solomon? I have to go and read that more thoroughly. The Song of Solomon. But Newsom now, under fire from Democrats. We have a lot of sound on this. And here's what's happening. Let's not focus on, Dom, don't you see that Newsom doesn't believe? We know that. Stop saying that, please. We know that Fetterman probably doesn't believe in a lot of these things when he's a contrarian. Here's the point. You can now pester other Democrats with this constantly, asking them, well, what do you think of what Newsom has said here? Why do you still support this? By the way, I'll give you the newest Democrat attempt to support something that's 85-15 or 90-10 in front of the American people. So that's one thing. And now people are challenging Newsom, and he'll continue to be challenged. Okay, Governor, you said this is a fairness issue, yada, yada, yada. Then why don't you issue an executive order? You can do that, saying that boys, men can't be in female sports. Why not do that? So he's not getting away with this. He's not skating. I've heard wild theories. Charlie Kirk should have his head examined. Newsom is just trying to reach young people, which Kirk, the young people Charlie Kirk's reaching are not going to be going to Newsom, particularly over this. This is ridiculous. This is a win. It indicates we are winning. Build on it. Now, what's the Democrats' new tactic on this? Oh, Cory Booker and Tammy Duckworth, two geniuses, right, on the Democrat side. They have all these Democrats out there saying now, well, we don't want the federal government involved. This should be a local, a state issue. Local. We here in Jersey, Cory Booker, we decide things like this on a local level, like who's a boy and who's a girl. Oh, really? You know, these are the biggest federal government people imaginable. In a heartbeat, they would go back to saying, shut up. We're going to let somebody 6'8", 300 pounds run over top of females if we feel like it. You know that. I know that. That dog's not going to hunt. The more this is out there, the more this is exposed, particularly with Newsom now, he's kind of thirsty, trying to, you know, get into position. What about Josh Shapiro? Where does this put Shapiro? What's he going to do, particularly with someone on the same level as a contender on the Democrat side, governor of California? saying this. Why are we looking at this as if at any second we're going to lose just by doing this? We're winning. This is winning. This is what we're engaged in. This is not something that we should be looking at and saying, oh my God, this is going to blow up. Stop it already with that. It's not going down that path. Not at all. I'm not going to say a name yet unless there's more engagement, but on Twitter, you can check my Twitter at DomShow1210. You'll see it. I put headline, "We Are Winning." And I was asked by a former pretty major, very major media person in the area, who's we, Dom? I answered, and you could tell me who we is. We're winning on this. Reasonable people, common sense people. They might even be apolitical. Some of them are even Democrats. They know it's not right to force females not to be able to compete in many of these things. They know this is craziness that they've run amok. So I'll say who that is if I get more response from them. And boy, do we have some great stuff today coming up from YouTube on YouTube. We have, it's youtube.com/1210WPHT. We have both Rose DeLauro. This is the woman who is truly bizarre, even for the Democrats from Connecticut, the congresswoman, dressed up and engaged in what she thinks is Gen Z talk, reaching Gen Zers. Oh, my goodness. It's almost like they took her and put her on our side somehow or another. We also have, in addition to that, the YouTube response from the White House to the Democrats' fighter YouTube. Remember that yesterday, all these females getting in fighting stances? We have that for you. The response from the Trump White House. It really makes a point about who the real fighters are. Speaking of which, I was going to save this for later. I can't. We'll talk about it a lot, maybe even get this guy on. There's a state senator in Canada, because of the tariffs defending the honor of the country, this guy has said he wants to box Don Jr. Yeah, Don Jr. I think they're relatively the same age. Now, there's only one flaw in this guy's background. He's done a boxing match for charity in the past. I've never done one of those. I'd be happy to do it. You think of the usual suspects here in Philadelphia, Jim Kenney, Larry Krasner. But this guy wants to fight Don Jr. lost a big charity boxing match to Justin Trudeau. Yes. Now think about it. You lose to Justin Trudeau. Oh my. Look, if you're in South Philly, you're not going home. You're telling us, send myself somewhere else. I'm moving out of South Philly. I'm moving somewhere else. You can't lose to Justin Trudeau. Guys, we have to get some of the sound from that. We have to, get some of the round by round of what that was like. That'd be great on YouTube. But imagine losing to Justin Trudeau, and you want to fight Don Trump Jr. over this. I haven't talked to my Don Trump Jr. Guy about this, but certainly, wow, that would be good stuff. Imagine that kind of match. All right, 855-839-1210 is the line. That's how you get in. We got a great side question today that involves David Hasselhoff. I'll give you that in a few minutes. Get your name in there. Thanks to Jim Harvey over at Gallows for providing a $50 gift card for the winner of the week. We'll draw that right near the end of the show. Hope you get your name in the hat today. Gallows, great seafood, and the burger shop, the burger restaurant he has right next to it has delicious, unbelievable stuff. Right there on the boulevard, what, around Ron Gallows. Okay? It's a staple. But the voter ID thing intrigues me today. This stuff that we've talked about, definitely. Today we have in court, I wanted to mention this too. You know, we know about the first assassin, President Trump talking yesterday about he wants that report. I don't know if he's gotten it yet. The FBI did nothing on that, running down some of those leads. I was more concerned, even if possible, after that first assassination, with how bad the Secret Service was to let this maniac, Drifter, how did he have money? He was homeless, on the road, doing all kinds of stuff. Trump said yesterday he had 6 cell phones, lurk in the trees and foliage around the country club where Trump plays when he's in town in Florida. What was it, the sixth hole, something like that? Thank God they took a shot at him and then he fled. How in the world, after all that, was the second assassin able to lurk there? He's got six cell phones. What do we know about him? He's in court today. Got to get to the bottom of this. I mean, this gets to the heart, I think, more of incompetency rather than conspiracy, but what the heck, it could be both. And the second guy is alive, so at least we have a chance. The other is very suspicious, cremating the body, the whole thing that went on here. In the first case, the Butler shooting, too. Trump said there'll be a report on that. Of course, the tariffs still out there. We'll be talking about that. That could change during the show. There might be things. But the good news of the show today. Now, I really have to admit, I don't like using AI to do this. But I guess on a manpower sense, it might be more effective. Marco Rubio announcing, though, that under American law, these people that we're seeing at Barnard College and other places in New York and across the country that are doing these rallies supporting Hamas that are illegal on these college campuses and threatening and taking over buildings, their visas are going to be revoked. Why would we want these people? And you know what's going to be interesting? Once this revocation starts, isn't it going to be interesting to see how many of these people are here in America? We give them a chance to get a world-class education, well, I know, indoctrination in some instances, and this is what they engage in. Why would we have them here? Of course, we're being told incorrectly, this is a freedom of speech issue, et cetera, et cetera. But the bottom line is, all this is happening as we speak. We may see a lot of it during the show today. So, coming up, I will give you the side question, really good one, that I think a lot of people will have good answers for. In addition to that, this guy, Mr. Fishback, the guy that's the architect of saying, give back 20% of those Doge dollars that we've captured, what is it, 50 billion plus at this point, on the way to hundreds of billions, to the average American. Who knows how much it'll be? And again, it's if you pay taxes and you didn't get a greater benefit than the taxes you paid, then you're in line to get something. Do I think it's $5,000? I'll ask him. I don't know. That seems on the high side. What the heck, if it's a couple of thousand? He says not inflationary. He'll explain why. I don't see anything wrong. This isn't like Biden giving a check to people. Stop it already. We're just getting our stolen money back. And he says the bill's going to be introduced soon, maybe this week. Big story, though, will Republicans do town halls? I say, yeah. Republicans, you got to do town halls. Got to have a strategy, got to do town halls. All right, side question coming up, 855-839-1210. We can get your reaction to this. Got a lot more sound, some YouTube stuff today that's unbelievable. And Linda Kearns to explain, Democrats say, okay, we'll give you voter ID more strongly. She'll give you the details. What do we have to give up? Now, I don't trust the Republicans as skilled negotiators. They were burned once. Will they be burned again? We'll find out. Big show today here with Dom on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome in, everyone. Yes, the suit. It's one of those days inside story. We taped it today. I think you'll enjoy it on Sunday, Dom Giordano's show. You heard some of the things I said about Newsom. Henry dug this out from like an hour and 10-minute thing. I want to play you in a second. Newsom with Charlie Kirk saying, you know what? You guys are for book bans. What about the Bible? Which part of the Bible could he see being banned in schools under a Republican regime? The Song of Solomon. So I need a Bible expert. Roe has really studied the Bible the last year and a half.
But Henry's kind of an expert in the Bible.
I know, with Catholic Lent and all school. That. Yeah, the Catholic version. Now, the Catholic version spins it and kind of cleans up the Song of Solomon.
Oh.
But I go back to my favorite, Lawn Boy, every time. You know, Charlie Kirk should have had a pocket copy and just started reading it out during the podcast, what they're saying. Dan, what's your favorite out of all those pornographic?
There's like a guide to your body that has some really, there was a story about a boy and his sister. And it's,
but the,
really
lawn,
gross stuff.
The Lawn Boy, the title just always gets me. I'll play you that in a moment. Couple of things, though, develop before I give you the side question. Should Republicans do town halls? You heard me mention that Brian Fitzpatrick, according to the Buckscounty Courier-Times, liberal newspaper, allegedly hasn't done one in person since 2017. I think they ought to do them. Now, Dan, you're a little bit on the other side. We can have dissension on this show a little bit because I'm not sure. You know, there are a lot of listeners. They just want to turtle up and say, you're always going to win. Just continue. In fact, Scott Jennings has an ongoing thing on Twitter that's beautiful. Yeah. He says it's a book. It's not really a book. I would have booked him by now for Politics and Pints. It's, we're never going to lose because they're going to keep this up. So I get that. But what do you see as the harm in doing a town hall if you're a Republican?
Well, I just think from a political advisory standpoint. If I'm advising one of these politicians right now, a local congressman such as Brian Fitzpatrick or others, there have been multiple times, and I hate to steal this phrase from Henry that he said it a couple times, though, that it looks like the Trump administration might have put the cart before the horse. Mm-hmm. Moving a little bit too fast, where they have something out there that they're putting out there, then the media questions the claim, and regrettably, Trump has to go back on that. And you know what? That's gonna happen naturally when you're moving as fast as the Trump administration is. And I want to underline that I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that they're moving so fast. I just think as another politician, there's a very good chance that you're asked a question, may not know the answer to the question, or may have some kind of information that might be later turned against you. So I would suggest to a politician, you know, let's let it breathe for maybe a couple weeks, and then we'll get going on answering constituent questions and such. And I hate to say that because I'm always a guy for transparency. I just think that more needs to be learned about what Musk is doing before they can go out there and talk to constituents in depth about what they're doing.
Okay, but they just met with the Congress the other day. See, I hear it before that. He did meet with them. They gave him their ground rules of what they need. Now, I thought you were going to say because of these indivisible creeps and these others, some of them national, that are going to be shouting at town halls.
Well, there's that too. You're going to have everyone trying to make any kind of point that they can go national on social media. So
right.
You'll be facing those types of hard questions. But even just a simple question of details as to certain cuts, because I think there's a lot of constituents out there on the local level who voted for Doge that might have lost their jobs or fearing that they're going to lose their jobs because they work for the federal government or such. So just examples like that, you might be faced with a voter who's in that situation. And do you have a solid, concrete answer to come out looking positively? I don't know if there is that answer.
I don't think those are the people going and bothering congresspeople. I think they would call the office, constituent service. You know, I don't know if I voted for this. What happened? The people that are doing this are activists, local, and that, and they've been activated. Some of them paid, and you got to face them down. So 855-839-1210. Should Brian Fitzpatrick, now not holding one in 7 or 8 years. I mean, I got to
That's
say,
ridiculous.
It's unforgivable to me. I say that on the Democrat side. I say it on the Republican side. This can be done. This is what. Now, what about tele-town halls? Oh, come on now. I'm kind of surprised. He's out there in the community a whole lot. Do the town halls. All right? And to Dan's point, you can make statements. There are breaking developments. I haven't seen it this minute. There's been a lot that's being done. And then go back to what the polling indicates, that people do want this. They do want what Doge is doing. And President Trump yesterday, I think, put the guardrails, and he even publicly talked about this, about Elon Musk and who's really in charge here as far as who gets to decide these firings and run their own departments. And this was the best of Trump. It's exactly the way to handle what Musk is doing. So I don't see that there's as much danger right now around this. Trump will at the appropriate time. I think he should have done it sooner, though. In other words, it's popular getting rid of this stuff, but maybe Musk is not the figure to carry the ball on this in the manner that he has been as far as people buying into it. All right, let me give you the side question, and then we'll play you Gavin Newsom talking about the Song of Solomon. How's that in your school? Can imagine a kid, oh man, page 48 in the Bible, the Song of Solomon. Oh God, the page gets ripped out. That's the most ripped out page. Well, let me play that first, then I'll give you the side question. So he's got Charlie Kirk, and he's telling him, what about book bans with Republicans? And Kirk says what we all say. Are you kidding me? Nine-year-olds with stuff that's pornographic, Lawn Boy, the one that Dan often cites. What's the name? Gavin Newsom then tries to float, what about the Bible? Here's how it sounded.
How about the book ban stuff? On a serious note, 4,240 books or titles, libraries and schools are banned in 2023. Is that not as a conservative?
Well, it depends. I think we can both agree pornography should not be taught to nine-year-olds.
Fair point.
Okay,
fair.
So that's a book ban.
All right. Well, there were some other books.
Oh, no.
Bill O'Reilly's book.
That was the
banned.
Moms for Liberty contention. Time out.
Yeah.
Like, I agree on Bill O'Reilly. The Moms for Liberty movement that you made a big thing of was just no porn to 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
We agree. So those books should be banned.
Well, okay.
So what we should do right now is every California school that has porn in their library should be kicked out.
Does that include the Bible?
Ban. Well, I wouldn't say the Song of Solomon is porn.
No, but
it,
I mean, some have made that point. Is that a fair point or
I don't think that's fair
and as
at
a
all.
Man of faith, and I deeply admire that about you.
Thank you.
Sincerely.
Yes, but no, I mean,
yeah.
Again, the Song of Solomon is rather risque.
No, it's
but
very.
But what we're talking about in these books is not just the words, it's also the images. And again, your audience can look at the images themselves.
Okay.
It's highly graphic. But again,
seems a banning binge. I mean, at next level, sort of cancel culture.
But why do you think moms are doing that? Do you think it's because they want to have mind control, or
no,
do you think that
they
have come across incident of highly provocative material?
I love moms, but this moms, I mean, we don't have to get into Moms for Liberty. It seems
you brought up the book ban.
Deeply organized for a larger agenda, but that's my humble opinion.
No, but let me just, kind of complete the point. Is that it's easy to just call it kind of a book ban, but when you actually have to read some of these books, it will take your breath away of some of the stuff, right? You're like, okay, we're teaching a 10-year-old how to put a condom on.
I know, I just have a problem with, who the hell is going to decide that? Government? I mean, Duran DeSantis is going to decide what I can read or say in the boardroom, in the classroom?
This is the exercise of politics, though.
Yeah.
The exercise of politics is the highest form of community because it blends morality and sociability. So what we do is we have discussion and elections, and we have boards and commissions, right? And we as a people say,
boards.
No porn for 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
And that's politics, right?
I don't see the danger here. Clue me in on the danger, what we're all afraid of. But Gavin Newsom's going to get Charlie Kirk to endorse him or something here. None of that. Perfectly online. Who knew, though? Song of Solomon, Henry. Dan, it's threw the ball to you as sort of an expert. What do you say?
I have never heard of the Song of Solomon until right now.
Oh, so an expert there.
Yeah, I just because I went to Catholic schools, I mean, I'm that right. familiar with the
well,
Bible.
Well, Roe Klum, I remember this about Solomon. I think he had 400 plus wives, but then he may have had 1,000 on the waiting list concubines.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
Popular guy.
Popular yeah. guy, yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's the all-time
Sounds similar
record.
To you, Dom. No, I'm 100%. Yeah. I was just trying to call you a good-looking guy there.
I don't know if that's on the record books or not. All right, let me give you the side question. While he's
By the way, I don't mean to cut you off. My Body is Growing, A Guide for 4 to 8-Year-Olds by Dagmar Geisler.
That's the one. Dagmar. When you got a Dagmar in there, ban him. What we shouldn't be doing, Dan, and we got to watch out for, apparently somebody in the Defense Department took down a picture of the Enola Gay. Mm. The Enola Gay, the plane used to bomb Hiroshima.
Why?
Gay is in it.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Come
yeah.
on.
Yeah, yeah. Really? I mean, we got to button this up. We need somebody with common sense. No, we're not banning the Enola Gay. You know, that's not DEI.
That's ridiculous.
It has nothing to do with it. All right, side question. Sadly, David Hasselhoff's wife, former wife, passed away yesterday. I'm not sure if it's first or second wife, and he's always intrigued me, this guy. How in the world was this guy that popular, so many different things that he did? So we're looking for somebody who either in their own career, like Bryan Cranston is the one three of us agreed on, he was Malcolm in the Middle, and then suddenly he's Walter White. God, this guy can act.
Happy birthday, Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, I think it was great. And Malcolm in the Middle, too. The daddy played was very
absolutely.
Unusual.
Absolutely. Hal, all-time character.
I just remember him doing the cheating in the Olympic walking thing was an example. But we're looking for somebody either in their own career had a big second act or they went into a completely different thing. George Foreman.
I definitely give more points to those that completely switched careers. The more different the career, the better where they succeeded, in my opinion.
All right. I was going to say Trump. Billionaire, real estate, and
president. That's a great one. Yeah.
He's a double, though, because then he came back after being dumped 2020 to come back the next time. That's all kinds of stuff. That would be a winner, but we never take that. So
I'll take one in the realm of politics, too. How about Arnold Schwarzenegger?
There you go. Very good one. Bodybuilder, governor, dope.
Another one?
My view.
I don't mean to take all of them off, but a politician. I don't want to do all politics, but Al Franken.
Yes. Yeah. Comedian, alleged.
Yeah.
Talk show host, alleged. You ever listen to the American Network show with him?
No.
They would do a fact check every couple minutes to be accurate.
Fact check?
Well, that's true. But they would say, you know, did you fact check me on that? He said, good morning. I mean, Rachel Maddow was also on the radio. Can you imagine how bad that is?
Terrible. And then finally, Dom, how about John Cena now turning heel for the first time in a long time? That's his second act in his wrestling career, but also the second act of becoming a Hollywood actor and doing pretty decently at it.
Glenn Jacobs, our friend, Kane. Who'll be with us for Mannion Day 2 weeks from today. He'll be checking in. The mayor of Knoxville. And he was just on Gutfeld. Oh, man. I thought he was pretty good, and that's hard to do.
Well, you got to have some personality charisma to
it's all jokes for an hour. That's tough.
Yeah.
All right. How about yours, Henry?
Yeah, I'm going to take two off the board here. I'm going to stick with Malcolm in the Middle. I'm actually going to stick with the guy playing the titular character Malcolm, and that would be Frankie Muniz.
Yes.
He starred, obviously, in Malcolm in the Middle and in the Agent Cody Banks movies, but now he is a driver in the Craftsman NASCAR truck series. Did you know that?
He's
16th in the truck series right now. So maybe one day he'll make his way to the NASCAR ranks.
So Eddie Haskell of Leave It to Beaver, all-time, you know, villain, was a cop in L.A.
Oh,
after
I didn't
that.
Know
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, Shaq was a cop.
Well,
He went out on stuff.
He's
deputy or sheriff. He was a sheriff.
Okay.
Imagine Shaq's at your door. I don't want to knock it down.
That's like calling Steven Seagal a police officer for the TV show he did.
I think he was actually out there in the field.
Seagal or Shaq?
No, Shaq.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Seagal pretended he was in the field.
Overrated player, Shaq, but that's another show.
Ooh, okay.
All right, go ahead.
And then the other one, I'm going to take off a basketball player. Does the name Alex Reese ring any bells?
No.
So Alex Reese played 4 years at the University of Alabama. He averaged 5 points and 3 rebounds a senior. Really meager you know, point total. So he stepped away from basketball and worked as a bartender and moving furniture for a year before he was like, you know what? I got the itch. I want to play again. Went over to go play in Luxembourg. Then got a G League tryout with the Rip City Remix. Lo and behold, only a year later, he's playing for your Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, man. A guy that they plucked the Luxembourg League. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know what? Set a one-on-one with this guy. I want to see that. I got to get that at Mulligan's. A guy from Luxembourg. Oh, my God. Luxembourg League.
He was Alabama State Player of the Year his senior year.
God.
And yeah.
God.
Made his way here somehow.
The Sixers, the embarrassment they're writing. The NBA is going to say, that's it. We're invoking this. You're out for a year. All right.
You know, I made $5 off the wife because she didn't believe me when I told her Luxembourg was a country and not a city.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. All right, Maisie. You're great on finances.
Or a region. I'm sorry. She knew it wasn't a city. She knew it was bigger than just a city, but she thought it was a region of Germany or
Maisie,
something like
you're great in this country. I'd go to you for accounting and advice. But not international money. When we get that international
geography's
money.
Geography's a little off there.
No,
Doug.
The Luxembourg. Well, what are we doing with that? No. Geography, Maisie. Richest
country
on
in the world.
Yeah. Oh, God. 855-839-1210. All right, while we zim along, our friend, big-time federal attorney's with us. Interesting DEI case that has developed that it is not a trade secret. It is indoctrination. He's going to explain that next year on Talk Radio 1210.
WPHT.
What that makes you move when the guitars get all chunky and the bass hits down below you and you know you got to get
Kevin Bacon. We would never take that guy for an answer though, because he had a third act, a musical after the acting. Shill for Larry Krasner. It's a Philly thing. Oh yeah, you know Philly, buddy. Sure. Broad and Glenside.
That's
Let's drop him off. Where? How would you get home from Broad and Glenside, Kevin? Well, I'd call, you know, my bodyguards and a helicopter. How about calling Larry Krasner? I'm sure he would be there to bail you out. Oh, by the way, suggested from Dan, inside story today, several people egging me on. And since we have this platform, if you're an attorney in Philadelphia and you want to run against Larry, the Republican Party nominee, please call Dan or Henry. I'm serious. Or you know one. Give us their number. I'll pass it on. Let's see if someone's willing to do it. The clock is ticking, and people are now mentioning nationally, what the heck? Philadelphia doesn't have anybody to run against the progressives, Larry Krasner or Judge Dugan. Just call us and give us a name. Yeah, but Dom, what about Vince Vanity? We'll handle that. He says he can't find anybody. Let's find someone in 5 minutes. Would you run against whoever the Democrat is? 855-839-1210. You just let us know, or you know somebody, we'll contact them. All right, while we zim along, is an attorney, big time, federal attorney. Most recently, we've been talking with Wally about what goes on in Springfield Township, thin blue line, the cops. But this story out of Downingtown, a mom believed that her child was being indoctrinated through DEI. And the argument in this case, Wally says in this article I'm looking at, they were hiding it, calling it a trade secret. What is this, McDonald's? That they couldn't know about it since it's a trade secret. All right, let me go to Wally Zimalong here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Wally, good afternoon. Know any attorneys that would like to run against Larry Krasner?
I know a lot of attorneys that don't like Larry Krasner and would like to see Larry Krasner removed tomorrow, but I think I need a long format to discuss the difficulties of finding somebody on the Republican side to run against Larry Krasner and be successful.
Well, I hear you, but, you know, it's pretty bad when we can't even put up a candidate. I'm hoping the Trump people sense this, Wally, because if you can't find a candidate to run for DA against a guy who's a bit on the ropes now, maybe you shouldn't be heading the Republican Party in Philadelphia. In other words, maybe we're on the wrong track and the party leadership, so to speak, here is the problem.
Yeah, I think you would need to find somebody that has this either is independently wealthy and could self-finance the millions of dollars necessary to beat Larry Krasner, or somebody that's going to get national support and funding in the millions of dollars that would be needed to beat Larry Krasner. And even that, given the demographics of Philadelphia and given who comes out and votes for the district attorney's race, I think that would be difficult. I mean, the reality is there's just not enough blue-collar Democrat, working-class, sort of maybe Trump or traditional Democratic voters in the city. You have to rely upon different coalitions. And there's just and those coalitions are so overwhelmingly progressive. I don't know if I see a path to any Republican winning. I'm not saying it's possible. Maybe, you know, the Republican of the right persuasion, but I really think you need a unicorn candidate. I mean, you need to have a Republican that's kind of moderate, that is in some way has the means to finance the race sufficiently. If you could find that person, I think you have a chance.
I am on this hunt for it, and when I do, it will be national news. You'll see. I don't know by the end of the show, but give me until next week. So, Wally, I am really intrigued with this Downingtown case and the nuts of it. This woman suspected, as I read you, that the Downingtown Area School District was indoctrinating using racially divisive tenets of diversity, equity, and inclusion, but she couldn't get the data on that. And when asked for it, there was something called trade secrets. How is it a trade secret?
This is another one of these cases where a concerned parent just wanted to know what was going on and what was being taught in her child's school, what was being used to train teachers, staff, and students. You know, the school districts, many school districts over the last few years have not been bashful with the fact that they indoctrinate and they teach DEI and they train their staff in DEI and their teachers in DEI and their students in DEI. And you know, this parent just wanted to know what was being taught. And again, it's another example of one of these school districts going at great lengths to cover up what was being taught. They just don't want parents to know what's being shown to their students and their students' teachers. So in this case, they cobbled together an argument that the materials that were being used to train the teachers, being used to train the teachers by a DEI professional who was a full-time school district employee who created the materials, were confidential and proprietary trade secrets. That was the basis for them. Right.
Yes.
And I heard, you know, this is absurd, and I think I think your reaction just says it all.
Yeah.
Trade secrets, as you mentioned in the break, are like the secrets to Coca-Cola, the secret formula to Coca-Cola. In fact, Dom, I don't know if you read the opinion, but the Commonwealth Court even said as such. They said, look, I think they said Coca-Cola, that's a trade secret. That's something that you put out and use to train people, that you give to third parties. I mean, the secret to Coca-Cola, the formula is locked under lock and key. Only few people know about it. In this instance, this gentleman was handing out this material to everyone that went through his training. It was absolutely absurd, and a unanimous decision by a three-judge panel of the Commonwealth Court, they agreed with us, and the school district is going to have to turn over this material.
So, Wally, let's back up away from the legal thing here, which is preposterous, right? Take you through the mind, because you asked questions, you were there along with the judges. How are they thinking? Maybe they're thinking, look, this woman will give up. Certainly, she's not going to have access to somebody like Wally Zimalong, who will ferret this out. But as this comes out, and, you know, the Inquirer, I see nothing on this. You wrote this piece that I'm looking at. It's just stunning that you think you're going to get it. So they're going to be hiring people that have materials they're going to use, then say it's proprietary. You can't see it as a parent. And I guess if a teacher would turn it over to somebody, then they're violating that. They'll sue them or something.
Well, first, I think it just shows how bad the material is that they go at this length to cover it up from parents. Because if it was benign, they would just say, here it is, take a look at it, no big deal. And based upon other materials that we've obtained in these cases, and in each instance, the school district, not this particular school district, the other cases we've had, they fight you tooth and nail. And when you get the materials, they're so outrageous. The statements in there are so outrageous. They're so ridiculous. They're so crazy that you understand why the school district went at lengths to cover it up and shield it from public view. And I do think that the school district's position is, look, we'll try to wear these people down. And luckily, in this case and in the other cases that we had, we have great partners that are able to assist parents like this. In this instance, we had the Goldwater Institute, which is actually a nonprofit organization out of Arizona that gave us the support and guidance to assist our client in this case to get these records. So I hope I think they hope to delay. They hope to wear folks down, and they hope you just give up. And look, then maybe they say, look, we'll eventually just get lucky and we'll get a ruling from the court that prevents us from providing parents with access and letting people know what's being taught in schools. I mean, I just think it's so outrageous that school districts want to hide from parents what's being taught to their children. I mean, I think this is is a big reason Trump got elected.
Exactly. And while I'd add to it this, with the kids, they might be able skillfully, you know, day to day, who knows exactly what's said, as long as they don't send something outrageous home. But when it's teacher training, you've zeroed in on a big thing here. This is a booming industry. These are often people that are hooked into it, know somebody, often radical, often saying wild things, often have a bad background themselves. And it's a big industry. And right there in the training, there have to be materials, et cetera. There's no getting around it. Not like they can flim-flam with the kids, and we didn't say that and all that. You have it right there. I'd love to see this guy on the stand, this expert who put it together. When do you think they'll hand over the materials?
Well, yeah, we're working on that now. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks we could come to some sort of resolution with the school district to get these materials. But look, the stuff that we found in these materials, it's pretty consistent. It's color blindness is bad.
Right.
Meritocracy is a system of oppression. The rule of law is oppressive. Equality under the law is oppressive. It's like, what are you talking about? This is the type of stuff that's being trained to teachers, is that the system that everyone is created equal, right? That's something that we're taught from Jump Street in school. It's the foundation of our constitutional system, equality under the law. These DEI folks teach students and teach teachers that's an oppressive means of justice, and that we should overturn that system of justice. This is what's being taught. So you wonder why we push back so hard against this DEI training. It's because stuff like that's being taught. It just has no place whatsoever in our public school systems or any public school systems.
Exactly right. Wally, thank you. Thanks for bringing it to our attention. As soon as we have the materials, we'll spend more time on that. Appreciate it, Wally. Have a good weekend.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Take care.
Trade secrets. We're not going to talk now. Over the years, Downingtown has been a problem school district. I don't know the full makeup there, but they're on the radar. They're the top 10 in my mind of districts where there have been stuff like this that goes on. How could you say you can't see the materials? It's a trade secret. Imagine this guy that put this together. When this all comes out, you'll see exactly what we're talking about. All right, we got the side question going on, which is, hit us with somebody that had that second act, either in their career or to Dan's point, maybe they went to something completely different. That's what we're looking for. Get in. We got that $50 gift card today, thanks to Jim Harvey over at Gallo's at the end of the show today. Also, 115. Ugh, what it took to get this guy. James Fishback is going to. Now, this is an alert. Be ready. Listen carefully. Take notes. He's the architect of the Doge dollars, 20% going back to the American public, which I could not agree with more. Okay, it is Dom time. Just one thing on this whole Newsom, et cetera. In the Charlie Kirk interview, this guy, and Henry, I don't know if you know the triple jump. I'll ask you in a moment. I didn't hear this one, but apparently this guy, A.B. Hernandez, a junior in Ontario, California, won a girls' triple jump event by more than 8 feet. What are the things in the triple jump? The run,
It's essentially just three jumps in itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Standing broad jump.
Long jump, right? It's essentially just a modified version of that. So you know, you run down that track, you take one big jump, another big jump, and then the final landing.
Right. Okay. By 8 feet, though?
Yeah. Winning by 8 feet. 8 feet's astounding amount.
And took in the high jump and long jump, won by nearly 3 feet. How are you winning by 3 feet in a high jump?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. 3 feet in high jump's crazy, because I've seen meets come down to, you know, mere inches.
Well, exactly. Of course they would.
3 feet is insane.
I don't know what the boys' record could have been for the high jump. I think 7 feet is pretty good, right? 7 feet, then change. I don't know if this guy does the Fosbury flop or something.
Do you do the Fosbury flop when you a high jump dumb?
No. You know what? I would consider that because...
Oh, wait, you would?
Yeah, because The leg kick thing you do, that's the family jewels there. You got to watch that.
Can we get you high jumping for, you know, at Mulligan's?
Out in the park? No, but you know what?
We're going to high jump top competition?
Something I'd like to try, just to have one of you try it anyhow. I'm playing in intramural basketball, then St. John at Bishop Newman. And the guy says, track coach, pulls me aside during a timeout. You're going to run the 110 higher hurdles.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, no, I'm not. I've never run a hurdle in the past, and I know enough to know. No, there's no way. It's the first one you might get over. But then you have no sprint to get over the next one.
Yes. It's all timing.
And if you miss, it's big trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Henry, were you a hurdler?
No, but I did the throwing events in high school.
I was going to say, your voice is very deep.
Yeah, and these were on cinder tracks. So if you go down with this, it's big trouble.
Yeah, no, that's bad news.
All right.
For some context, though, on the high jump, the PA state record, the PA high school state record, is 7 feet, 2.5 inches.
Okay. So if he won by 3 feet, what are these girls jumping? What the heck did he jump?
He must have jumped in somewhere in the sixth range. That's where, like, the top.
Yeah. And I'm seeing that the triple jump by 8 feet, though.
Yeah.
You know, if you're at a track meet, can't you have an act of civil discipline? No, I'm not doing this, but you're an official. That's it. You're out of order. I'm out of here.
People just get disqualified. You know,
disqualify him right there. Yeah.
Joe in Columbus says, oh, my gosh, we're going to do a high jump in Mulligan's now. I can't wait for this.
Yeah, I'm not getting too high off the ground.
Put that on the – well, I may have
like
a special –
3-inch vertical. So.
I may have a special hurdle brought in for this, you know, like a beer keg. That'd be a good hurdle.
Yeah. This is an athletic competition, Dom. I do think that you would beat me in. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'm a 6'8 individual who can't dunk a basketball, so you can't imagine I can high jump
this
very far.
This is limited.
If we want to do the throwing events, I'm all in. Discus,
yeah, I'm for that.
Well, how about a hardball? I could throw a hardball 300 feet.
A what?
A hardball?
A hardball, yeah.
Like a hardball?
Yeah.
What's that?
A ball.
Just a ball?
Baseball, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a ball that's hard? Okay.
Yeah. Softball, I'm not sure.
What a weird vernacular.
All right. Coming up, big 1 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Mr. Fishback. Be ready for this. Take notes. The architect of us getting more money back from Doge. She's finally here. I can hardly wait. Dom Giordano Show.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays noon till 3. From Talk Radio 1210. WPHD.